You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Fargo After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Fargo After Show.
Good evening, After Buzzers! We are here talking Fargo Season 1, Episode 10, titled Morton's Fork. Can we turn this freaking music down? Jesus Christ, it's loud.
Hello!
Hello! I am your host for the evening, David Skipolitti, joined by the lovely Jillian Leff.
Hi, guys!
Jumping back in, JB Zimmerman.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us.
Happy to be here again.
Don't and hug. Sarah Huggins, Hello. My favorite redhead. Hi.
It's finally over.
It's finally done! We are vindicated. I don't know if we really were, but how did you guys feel about overall the finale episode?
Well, I do have to say that if you look back in our previous after shows, mm-hmm. I did in fact call that Gus would eventually be the hero.
So are you...
Did you?
I did.
I don't remember that.
Wow. I did.
Hell of a prediction.
That well is. Done.
I said, because he, you know, he got the mailman job. He was... just, you know, the average man.
Mm-hmm.
And he still had more work to do. I knew as soon as he was looking at the board, after he saw Lorne in the red car as he was trying to figure something out, it lit a fire under him.
Hmm.
Just got the rage brewing.
Yeah.
But totally. Does that make you think the finale overall was good? Because you were right?
No. I liked the finale. I did. I personally liked the finale. I liked that it was an hour and a half long. Mm-hmm. It was exactly like the movie. I mean, look, we see the end of the finale and it's them in a living room watching TV. The end of the movie was the cop and her husband in bed watching TV.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, it's just another day.
Right.
Yeah, justice has been served and, you know, everyone got what they deserved, and that's what I appreciated. Because I did want Lester to die as well.
Right. But at the end of the day, also, the Coen brothers always tell stories about regular people, mm-hmm. and these are their regular lives.
Right.
So, I guess...
How did you guys feel about it?
Yes. Yeah. I liked the finale as well. I thought... I mean, it didn't really come to a close as I had hoped.
Were you hoping for, like, an explosive ending?
Yeah, I mean, some things exploded and some things didn't.
Were you hoping for fewer dead people?
Actually, I was hoping for the other people to die. I don't know, I've been sort of in an anti-hero age as of late. I feel like it's sort of a trend.
You wanted Molly dead. You can say
it.
This is a safe space.
I would have rather her, lost in some way. I don't know. That sounds bad. Okay. She's a, you know, mom. But
I don't think it sounds bad personally. I think it would have been very interesting to see Molly go down a different path and maybe not have, you know, Lorne die, or maybe not have Lester die, or maybe, you know, I don't know. There's always two sides to the coin.
Sarah? I just didn't like how cut and dry it was. I felt like, yes, it ended like the movie, okay. But I wanted something more. I wanted more carnage. I know it might be an unpopular opinion, but yeah, I wanted like some like explosive death scene or like everybody dies. I think I would have been more satisfied with that.
Well, almost everybody did die, but let's jump into...
Not almost everybody. There was a lot of people left living.
Yeah.
Not a lot. I mean, there are people that were left living.
I just thought everything happened a little too clean for me.
Okay.
And I was like, at the end, I was like,
Yes, I mean, the people that did survive were sort of all in that good
side. Yeah, they were all on the same side, for the most part. Let's jump into the episode, okay? We started off with the episode, there was, you know, the camera was panning over a snowmobile. Is that what it was?
The ice hole.
And the ice hole.
Not to be confused with an asshole.
And ice hole. No bathroom scenes.
No potty scenes.
Oh, yes. Yes, there was. Lester was in the bathroom with the guns.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. We digress.
So, you know, we're panning over the turned over snowmobile. And then we pan through, you know, over the ice hole. And then through the ice hole to Lester, what I like to call at a crossroads. Mm. You know, he has a decision to make. He's in the car. He's just seen his wife die. Right. Get shot.
Knew that was going to happen.
Yes. And he needs to make a decision.
And he makes the wrong decision because he doesn't fully clean up all of the evidence. You know, he does not take the tickets out of her jacket.
Well, he forgets about them. So he goes in, right? He gets his passports or he puts them back. I don't know what he was doing, he actually
just takes his car keys and he puts it on the keys that were in her hand. So it looks like she was driving.
No, I know that. But he did open the safe.
And then he
thought about something and then put his keys.
It was the Lorne flashback that he was having throughout the whole episode.
The elevator scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he goes to Lou's and creates sort of a...
An alibi.
Okay, you seemed... you just now, like, you were perturbed by his alibi.
I just think that...
I thought it was genius.
I didn't.
I didn't think it was believable.
Yeah.
Especially because the guy's a cop.
What about you, JB?
I thought it was both. I mean, he obviously didn't think of everything, so it's sort of a classic Lester move where he tries to be smart and inevitably forgets something.
I just think that it wouldn't have mattered. Why I was rolling my eyes was because I don't think, even if like he had taken the tickets, I don't think that that would have mattered. Like, that wasn't what implicated him in like ended up implicating him later.
No, it wasn't, but I thought that his idea of like, you know, yes, it's his second wife that just died a year later after they got married. But he had the foresight to go create a very believable alibi, you know, getting dropped off, whatever, going to Lou's to get grilled cheese and ginger ale. He's just like a little skittish.
Well, it's because...
for my taste.
I mean...
again.
He murdered his wife.
His first one.
Like, can we all... no.
And
his second one.
Okay,
yeah,
so
I think we can all agree.
He sent her into her death.
Exactly. So he knew he knew what was happening, and he knew that he had to, again, in his manic, crazy mumbo-jumbo of a mind, he knew that he had to create a place for himself where he thought he was going to be okay.
This time around, though, he did a lot better of a job than the first time.
Right.
Well, yeah, because he didn't have Lorne to call.
Right.
Yes, and he's salesman of the year now, so he's got a little bit more experience.
Yeah. Now he's just a sneaky bastard, he knows what he's doing. But he calls in here saying that he heard gunshots. Apparently no one else heard gunshots.
Right.
But he calls them in, and the police come. Now, I was sitting there watching, right, and he... I got a little mad because he's not even fazed by this murder.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show you the type of man that he's become over the past year. After everything that's happened, you know, all the stuff that he's done and the things that he's seen, he is not even fazed by the fact that his wife just got shot. He didn't, like, flinch. He didn't blink. Nothing.
He was more nervous about Lorne.
He's more nervous about Lorne and getting caught.
Yeah. Did you guys feel like that was the reaction that he gave? Because when he was sitting in the car, he was panting, not because of what just happened, but because Lorne is on the loose.
Absolutely. I think it was evident in the last episode that he, you know, that's consumed his entire mind, and he's not able to let that go. Even when he had come so far success-wise and with everything, he had a new wife, new job that he was obviously killing at. No pun intended. You know, he still has that itch to scratch, and it's Lorne always haunting him. You know, he could have just let him go by, and everything would have been fine. But he had to scratch. He had to like turn that rock over, and it ended up, you know, spiraling out of control.
But he's become such a good actor over this past year. I mean, maybe being Salesman of the Year has helped. It gave him, like, you know, the confidence boost. And he, when the police come in and he runs into his office, he's, like, freaking out and he's crying and he's like, I need to say goodbye to her. And
I thought he was going to just, like, throw himself on her body.
I was expecting that as well, personally.
Yeah, I wish that's how it would have been. I mean, he's, again, it's, like, very reflective of Lorne's behavior. It's sort of Lester has turned into Lorne in a sense. Where he's
interesting,
he's always doing something that is going to benefit himself, and he's always looking one step ahead of everyone. And this is just, this has evolved ever since Lester, I really think, met the second wife, or the second wife came on to him, and he realized that he had a little bit more confidence.
Right.
And also all of the crimes he's committed thus far. I mean, really, would old Lester have set the bear trap in the bedroom and then faked a phone call?
No.
He wouldn't have done that.
So. That's true.
Yeah, he's definitely starting to think more moves ahead, but he doesn't have it down.
Because clearly. He does forget the tickets in her pocket.
Well, and I love how Molly, she just sees the jacket right away, and she was like, all right.
That's Lester's.
Like, yeah, she's like, I know something's up.
Well, he gets taken in to the police station.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
And we're getting taken into the police station here at TV Studios because we have said something incorrect. I'm just kidding.
We're okay.
I don't know. We're fine. Alarms are going off. It's cool. He gets taken into the police station where he's going to get questioned by the FBI men that we've seen. But Lauren is back in a cabin listening to the police scanner. So we see him packing up some items, and he also goes to the police station.
I love what he ends up doing. I mean, were you guys expecting at all for him to impersonate an FBI agent?
I did not see that coming.
No,
me neither.
I had no idea what he breaks into a car and he steals a book, and I had no idea what he took.
Yeah.
Did you say, oh, it's a Bible?
That wasn't me.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a Bible. I'm not sure which book it was. We never got a real good look at the cover.
It was just a notebook or something?
Was it their badge? I have no idea. But it had the corresponding number.
Right.
Someone's
the
number.
The code, the FBI telephone code.
And obviously, Lauren knew exactly where to look for it.
Well, yeah, and he calls the police station first to get their names.
Mm-hmm.
And then calls the FBI to call them off. Because Molly has got this this plan to catch Lauren. Because she knows that he's back in town. And she's set up this sort of...
bait.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bait and switch? No, not a bait and switch. Just some bait.
Yeah.
See what happens.
To catch him. Because she finds out through her father, who says that he sees a man come into the coffee shop and is asking about Lester, and it sort of just slips his mind until now.
Mm-hmm.
So then she realizes that Lauren is back in town.
Mm-hmm.
Which was sort of like a little exciting moment. And he says to her, you have two ways to look at it when they're talking about, I don't know who they're talking about. They could be talking about Lester or Lauren. Either way, he says there's two ways to look at it. You either have him or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was, you know, very wise of him to tell her.
Well, he's been through some stuff.
He has been through some stuff. He's a good man.
He's so wise.
We still don't know what happened in 79.
No clue.
No idea.
Hey.
Cliffhanger.
Predictions next season. Minnesota, 1979.
Oh, gosh.
And it's all about Lou. And he tells her that he's going to go sit on the front porch.
Right, with a shotgun.
With a shotgun and take care of his grandbaby.
Because
she's going to be there all night, which was
very sweet.
Adorable.
Yeah.
And he goes through with that promise.
Yeah.
He delivers.
He does deliver.
They had some cute little bonding moments.
I wonder how long he was up, though. It seemed like several days that it was the stakeout. Lester was in prison for a while.
Something's not right with Lou.
Yeah, just Lou. Yeah.
Well, he says that he's done it one time.
Day 14, house watch.
Yeah.
He did it one time before in 1979, where he stayed up from dusk till dawn, which is like 24 hours.
Yeah.
Drive a person crazy. So maybe he's not right.
Maybe he never recovered. Yeah.
Maybe he hasn't slept since 79. Drinks a lot of coffee in that coffee shop. But while Lester is getting questioned by the FBI, we get a little hint back into old Lester, where he's getting all shifty and weird, and he's stumbling on his words, and he's like, I need a lawyer.
Wait, what was he like?
He can't get his words out. And scene. But he's sort of lost his confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And he's asking for Lauren. He's like, I'm not saying anything. You can't keep me here all night.
Right. Right. So they do decide to let him go. And
well, they can keep him for, what, is it 24 hours? You're allowed to hold people for 24, 48? Does anyone know?
For questioning?
Who's been arrested?
I believe it's 24 hours.
Okay. Without I believe it's 24 hours.
Well, we don't know JB really that well, so.
We'll have to Google it.
No one's been arrested?
No.
A shocker.
We're all
upstanding Americans here.
Knock on wood.
Knock on wood. So Molly set up this search for Lauren. Mm-hmm. And Gus is begging her on the phone. He's been calling her all morning and begging her to stay.
And she does. And I was disappointed
in
that.
She kind of stays. She does eventually leave.
Well, she does, but... You know, she has sort of spearheaded this whole entire thing, and she's been so adamant about being there. Right. And, I mean, look, she left, and she went to the crime scene. You know, she didn't have to get up and do that. It sort of killed me that she wasn't there.
Yeah, to throw in the towel, sort of.
She's pregnant.
But you have to understand, like, as
like
a woman, if there is something that you want... You will do it.
You know what?
Whatever it takes.
If I was a woman, you know what I would want?
What?
Maria Menounos' new book.
Oh my gosh. Wait, let me tell you about it.
Let me tell you about it. Thank you.
Yeah, so Marie just came out with an awesome book that is actually on the New York Times bestseller list.
Good for you, girl.
The Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness. And the reason why I love this book is because it's laid out wonderfully. Uh-huh. Maria has awesome tips to work out. She also has great eating guide, and she even teaches you how to drink beer if you're of age and eat pizza and still have abs of steel.
Well, it says right there how I lost 40 pounds and kept it off, and how you can too.
Exactly. And we've all seen Maria up close, and she's has a big
banging.
It's clearly successful.
Exactly. So you can find this wherever books are sold: Amazon, Barnes and Noble, if y'all still shop there. Purchase it. It's awesome. We all own it, and I'm about halfway through it, so I'll report back when I finish the entire thing.
I'm excited. I just got my copy, so I'm excited. I'm getting there.
I'm just in it for the pictures. Yeah.
The trick is
ripping them out, posting them on your wall. You know, whatever.
Like it's 1996?
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. Where were we?
So Molly stays.
Molly stays, and Gus is on the phone, and he stops his car because he runs into what I like to call... Jacob the werewolf from Twilight.
Oh, right. The dire wolf.
Yes, the dire wolf.
The first sighting.
From Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Hodor and Bran are not far behind.
Yeah.
And he sees out of the corner of his eye the red BMW.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Now, were you shocked when he... Because I thought he was just driving... I think we all thought he was just driving away.
I thought he was driving away.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I was shocked that he pulled his car around, parked it... And started walking towards it.
I didn't think too far into it. I was like, I knew it was going somewhere. So I just was following.
Did you?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, if he just drove away, it's the finale. If he just drove away again, it's like...
It wouldn't shock me.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have surprised me if he drove away. That would fit his character more than exactly what he just did.
Well, watching it, I definitely was guessing. I mean, I was like, I think they use that shot to sort of be ambiguous.
Right, right.
Like you don't know if he is pulling in or not. Interesting that he was hiding in that closet the whole time. I wonder how long that was.
So Lauren leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. I burped.
Yeah.
I didn't do it on the microphone. And so Lauren leaves, and Gus goes like into the cabin.
Yeah, and then we don't see him for the rest of the
episode. We don't see him till the end of the episode.
Whoops, bye.
Creeping around.
The next thing we see, if my notes are correct, Molly and Chief Oswald talking in the office. I was totally ready for this moment.
Yeah.
Pretty much ever since Bob Odenkirk's character became the chief.
Well, I have too, and I'm kind of shocked that it's taken him this long to realize that he should have not been chief.
Isn't it so sad, though? And I was thinking about this today when I was talking to my coworkers about this show. It took two bumbling FBI agents, for him to see Molly for who she really is.
Right, when I was right in front of his
face.
Which
is just like, sucks.
You know, you know what they say
being
about,
a woman.
Like, no, I don't think it has anything to do with her being a woman. I think it has more to do with him being so close to the situation that it takes an outside person coming in to be like, look at this. You're not seeing what we're seeing, for him to then realize.
I see that.
You know how sometimes you hear the same thing over and over and over again from someone close to you, and then someone outside of the situation says the same exact thing and it finally clicks?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I mean, plus Bob Odenkirk, you know, he's very underplaying this role.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that his character really just sees the good in everything. You know, he just almost doesn't have the ability to see beyond that. And, you know, he wants to be the cop that almost is similar to Gus, where, you know, maybe he should have just been a mailman. He wants to walk people with their groceries, like, into their house. He doesn't think that there's so much evil in the world, and just like it never crosses his mind.
And we don't know about season two as far as, you know, is it going to be a continuation of the storyline? Is it going to be a new storyline? But we do know that they had to remove him from the situation somehow because he does have Better Call Saul, the Breaking Bad spinoff.
Mm.
I mean, everything's so up in the air about this, but I think that this was the best way that the character could have gone. Now he can sort of live his life with his... did he adopt that kid?
His
foster son. And, you know, he can live happily ever after.
He says that he doesn't want to, you know, sit at the fireplace and drink. He doesn't want to have to think about life. He wants a stack of pancakes and a V8.
I
like that as
Finer
well.
Finer things in life.
So Molly's going to take over when he's done, which we're all excited for her.
Yeah, and she wanted from the get-go.
And she deserved.
Yeah.
Very much so. So we see Lorne going to, quote-unquote, buy a new car. Wait, who am I talking about? Yeah.
Yeah, Lorne.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. I had a brain fart, I said Lorne, and I saw someone else in my head.
At least you're getting their names right.
I wrote them down. So that you fans out there wouldn't get mad at me for calling them by my nicknames.
I did enjoy the car scene.
We all thought that he was going to shoot him.
Yeah, I thought it was
right
just going to be one and
there.
Done.
Yeah.
But again, doesn't. Like, what a brilliant idea, you know? Like, he tapes his hands to the steering wheel.
What was the point of taping his hands to the steering wheel? That's what
I don't understand. And he just tells him, this is what you're going to do.
Well, I think it's because he, you know, basically imprisons him in the car. Uh-huh. Otherwise, the guy could just get up and leave, just unlock. I mean, he's in the driver's seat, so.
Right. Yeah, I guess so.
I'm sure he did more than just tape his hands, because I'm pretty sure I could get out of duct tape. I mean, like, I just, like, wiggle
we'll
your hands.
I don't know.
That duct tape, that adhesive is pretty tough.
Well, and when they're like, oh, my.
I know, he's being dirty.
I know, I'm being very dirty.
Well, and when they're like, show us your hands, it's like they have to get close enough to the car,
The car that he chose, he says to the salesman, I like this car because it looks like one of those undercover cars.
Yeah.
Because the front windshield is completely blacked out.
Right.
Yes, it's the limo tint, I believe.
Oh, excuse me.
5%, perhaps?
Illegal in Los Angeles?
Yes. Okay. Why would you need that in Minnesota?
Just living on the fringe.
It was probably, even though I didn't want to see them bite the dust, it was probably my favorite scene of the finale.
Yeah, it was very exciting.
They were very beautifully killed.
They were. We're getting to my favorite scene. Shortly.
Okay.
Real quick before we move on, though, I really liked that scene in terms of Lorne. I think Lorne and Les are both villains, obviously, but for some reason, actually a lot of reasons, I really like Lorne a lot more. I mean, he's sort of like a Walter White or a Frank Underwood, where I actually root for him.
Interesting.
Pretty actively, actually, to admit.
Is it because he's a smart man and he plans out and thinks about things before he acts?
Yes. And all of his plans are things that I wouldn't have thought of. I mean, they're surprising in a good way.
Well, you're not a murderer, right?
Well,
I mean, David, will you walk me in my car later?
I don't know you. I've just met you today, so you could be a murderer.
the plan that he laid out is so smart. Even when he was kind of masterminding that whole thing with the book, calling the FBI. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything is so surprising and just, you know, like, whoa, I did not think of that. I did not even see that coming.
Well, even in his death, I know we'll get to it later, but him having the forethought to have tapes of everyone that he's spoken to about all the murders that he's committed, it's sort of like, even if he dies, there's these tapes where you can now go find everybody else
and
you're looking for.
And they're not under code names.
No, they're by their names. Yeah. So, I mean, he's thought about everything.
I mean, right. I think that we can also obviously commend the writing on this show because the Coen brothers' style is very specific. You know, we've seen a lot of beautiful things in this episode, mm-hmm. and I think that also a lot of the deaths have oddly been beautiful.
Yeah.
The way that they were shot, yeah.
Yeah, and it just sort of couples with the writing. And, you know, we've read a lot of forums online, and people are just nuts about this show. You know, a lot of fans are comparing it to True Detective. Right. There's been a lot of sort of, I guess, similarities in the style. This obviously...
Sort of the storyline, probably, because they're both, you know, like...
Well, they're searching for someone. Stories, you know, that was the whole point
right.
of it.
And they have... You know, film actors in them.
Yeah. So, I mean, we can't knock the writing on the show because that is something that we did really enjoy. I think that the issue was the pacing sometimes. And I thought that a lot of the things in this episode could have been cut down.
Yeah. Agreed.
You know.
I agree. I mean, this, just like the first episode was 90 minutes and this one was 90 minutes, I don't necessarily think that we needed the full 90 minutes. A lot of things happened. We got a lot of extra information that we didn't necessarily need. Mm-hmm.
There were scenes that went on, like, a lot of them throughout the course of the season that I was just like, why is this still happening? And you think, like, you're watching it for a reason that, like, something is going to happen in result of this situation, and then nothing does.
Yes.
And I get the part, I get the point of the sort of like fluid, mellow dialogue that was happening throughout the entire season.
Right.
But for us sitting behind this panel, you know, we just watched the show an hour and a half ago.
Right.
We sat through it, we walk into this room and we talk about it. So really, the stuff that's sticking out in our minds is the action that happened.
Right.
And really not so much what happened in between or the smaller things that I feel like everyone else that has been watching the show is really truly admiring.
Right.
I think we watch a little bit differently. Would you agree with that?
I do agree.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that, I mean, like the movie, there's so many subtleties that, I mean, given that we just watched the show, we may have not picked up on. I think they're kind of throwing in little Easter eggs and little treats for people who, you know, would buy this on DVD and rewatch every episode to almost like an extreme amount. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a credit, like you were saying, to the cinematography, the writing,
right.
everything in the show. And I think why it's built such a following is because they spend that extra time. You know, maybe it doesn't pay off right away.
Right.
But maybe, you know, there is something extra for the avid fan that is really...
Well, I think that this show was more difficult to break
it
down.
Is. It's very difficult because there is so much that happens and we sort of do... miss a lot of things because of the way that we watch and then jump right in here.
Right, because when you're watching other things, and even with, like, American Horror Story, like, they're... I mean, which is also something we do, that's why I was comparing it, but, like, there were things to research beforehand. There was, like, real history that we were looking at beforehand and things like that, but there's so many things here, like, if I had an hour before this, like, we could find out so much more. But, I mean, that's why I like when the fans chime in, though, because they do, I mean, every time we read your comments and stuff, I'm like, oh my gosh, I missed that, or...
Right.
You
know, yeah, or, oh, we got that wrong. Like, I didn't even think of it that way.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's why I like this... as an interactive experience.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It is wonderful. I do want to jump to my favorite scene. I know I'm skipping a whole bunch of stuff, but we are running out of time here. My favorite scene, when Lauren gets caught in the bear trap.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
You freak. I knew it was going to be that.
What?
I knew it was going to be that.
What, a bear trap?
I knew it was going to be the Lauren and the bear trap scene. Oh, I knew it.
It was the best scene, or slew of scenes, I would have to say, in the entire season.
Okay, so explain yourself. Because I was sitting next to David, and he was really into it.
I was so into it. Okay, because...
Yes!
Because this entire season, okay, you both, Jillian and Sarah, know me. You, JB, do not. But... this entire season, I have been less than interested in the show. I'm going to admit it. I do not like it. I have not liked it. Mm. And this slew of scenes where Lauren gets caught in the bear trap and then he somehow gets out of it and gets in the car and then goes back to the cabin and is ripping his pants open and then tying a string and resetting his own bone. Like,
you were like wanting to rewind it.
That's exactly what I wanted to do.
Yeah, because I closed my eyes and he's like, you need to see this.
You need to see this. Because you watched the bone pop back in his leg. It was great. It was very entertaining to watch, and it was full of everything that I have been waiting for this show to give us.
Well, and I love that he could have just annihilated the door and just, you know, shot up the entire thing, and he didn't.
He didn't. But he somehow was able to get up and get in a car and drive.
I know.
Crazy psycho.
Which is amazing to me.
Endorphins, man.
Well, you know, yeah, adrenaline.
True. The killers usually, they live.
Exactly. I really like this scene, too.
Gus jumps out of the closet?
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised that Lester, you know, kind of got the better of Lauren for once. Mm-hmm. The fact that it was a bear trap sort of reminded me of, you know, they made so many comparisons to Lauren being an animal and not a man. The wolf references. So I hope that's another attempt with the writers. Maybe I'm giving them too much credit.
No.
But I would really like to see the episode again to see if it does line up where it's more of, you know, him being an animal. Like, the bear trap is such an animal trap thing that he doesn't notice. And that's sort of the only thing that he's made a huge misstep with.
And then the end when he locks eyes with the wolf and the wolf knows that Gus is in there.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly.
Then Lauren knows that Gus is in there.
There's a lot of reinforcement.
Yeah.
When Lester's closing the door to his house, he sort of has this like grin, creepy grin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I loved it. I loved it too.
It was great.
I did admit it.
You didn't watch the gross parts, but it was awesome.
I mean, it's not how I pictured it, because I couldn't have even pictured that to be his end.
No.
But I just loved that Gus shot, and then Lorne was still fighting.
Still alive, then he gets shot in the face.
Give it up.
I know I said it when we were watching it, but I really thought it was going to be like a Scream 1 situation. And if you haven't seen it, the killers, I mean, they live, and they're like alive forever. Like, you think they're dead. It looks like they get shot a million times. They look like they're dead. And then all of a sudden, they like grab
disappear,
your leg.
Disappear, yeah, or something.
Or disappear, yeah. And I totally thought he was going to like reach out and like grab Molly or something. Like, I wanted that to happen.
Love the Scream 1 throwback reference.
Right? I know. Yeah, it's like one of my faves.
Oh, it was good. It was so good. So,
I thought the tape box was going to blow up.
I did too.
You thought there was a trap.
That. This was my theory. And I mean, writers, maybe for next time you could take this advice. I was just, you know, as Lorne was always one step ahead of anyone that was trying to get him. So I thought that he was going to set a trap for anyone that was going after his things, you know?
This is sort of a trap, though, that he's left.
I mean, I guess, but we saw him, you know, string up. Remember when he killed the trainer?
Yeah.
And he strung up that entire thing and, you know, the tripwire on the lawn and it shot all the guns. I thought that he was more capable of doing something to surprise the people that were hunting him. And, you know, obviously the tapes were a great thing and a great thing to find. But how, like, mind-blowing would it have been if, you know, a gun went off?
That's what I wanted.
And there's a pregnant lady and her husband in the room. Like, you know. Food for thought.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I thought and wanted to happen, actually. Yeah. I would have been more, this makes me sound like a total freak, but I would have been happier with that ending.
But it's not Coen Brothers.
Or maybe like one of them getting shot, but we don't know who it was, and then fade to black.
Yeah.
Would have loved that.
And then leaving it at that?
Yeah.
As opposed to jumping to 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
Where Lester's on his,
I mean, that was funny and great.
His snowmobile, and he's like trying to get to the border of Canada.
But still wearing a bright red jacket.
I know, he's such an idiot.
And trying to outrun them, I mean, it was just
hilarious.
Trying to
outrun the Border Patrol, it's like, oh, come on. And he falls off his snowmobile and starts running.
Right.
Idiot.
And how great was it that we started the show with a frozen guy and we ended the show with a frozen guy?
Oh, look at that. Look
at
you.
Full circle. Mm-hmm.
Look at you putting things together over here with your brain.
Oh, jeez.
You're
so
smart. Oh, jeez.
I love how Molly was like, oh, well, let me know what the divers find. I was like, ugh.
Well, he falls through the ice, and then we're back to the same shot, and we're back with the family watching TV.
Yeah. And all is well that ends well.
All is well that ends well. So as a whole, I would like to know y'all's opinion on the season. Everybody knows mine. Sarah, let's start with you.
That's my opinion. I liked some parts of it. I really thought that I would have just liked a better ending. I liked everything mostly except for the first and last episodes, to be honest with you. I thought the first was too slow and like could have been half as long and done. I mean, maybe there are little Easter eggs that I need to go back and find about that first one too, but I liked the middle. I especially liked, I think it was two episodes ago when we had the whole like jump to a year later mm-hmm. with the Vegas thing. I was like, okay, now this is like getting into something that I'm interested in. And then it just kind of, I was disappointed with the ending. So like I said,
Okay. Very strong.
Wasn't my favorite. Yeah.
JB.
I like the show a lot. You know, I hear what you're saying and I definitely, there's places where I agree a lot. Maybe they would have done better with 8 episodes or something, a different format. Mm. I was very impressed with how graphic it was for a cable show. Mm-hmm. You expect this from HBO and Showtime and those kind of premium channels, but you know, I did not expect to see bone, like a compound fracture snap back into one's leg on cable, for sure. I thought the acting was great. I thought, you know, there is a lot that I was missing, so maybe that is why the episodes are so long. There might be certain things that I just don't get living in LA. I mean, obviously, it's very far from Minnesota. There mm-hmm. might be inside jokes.
It's also 2006, mm-hmm. 2007,
yeah.
so...
Yeah.
True, yeah. I mean, there might be some throwback things. Mm-hmm. But, I, you know, maybe watching it again would bring something else out.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, there's definitely a lot of different aspects of the show. It's a dark show, obviously, but it's got a lot of comedy in it. You know, Key and Peele bring a lot to it.
I love
it. He's got some intense sock game in this episode, in particular. you know, but like things that I initially was like, what are they talking about with the, you know, the rabbit, the fox, and the cabbage?
Mm-hmm.
When they kind of went over it again, it's sort of quick that because Lester got that, it showed that he was smarter than them, and it kind of made a hierarchy. You know, they're obviously at the low, then Lester, Warren's clearly above everybody. Salverson, obviously at the top. Bob Odenkirk, clearly not as high. So you know, there's a lot of things that I feel like I missed just having this initial run through, but I liked it. I thought it was pretty good.
So you're definitely going back and watching it again.
I'd like to. If I had infinite time, I would watch it.
Do you have 20 hours that are...
Yeah, exactly. To watch 10 episodes.
A little bit over 20 hours, actually.
Before I share my opinion, every episode we've sort of been breaking down the title, and we haven't done that yet.
Tell me, what's Morton's Fork?
Morton's Fork is a logical dilemma in which people are faced with two equally bad options. We saw this in the last episode when Lester knew that Lorne was inside the shop, so it was either him dying or his wife dying.
Right.
And we also saw this at other points in the episode. It continues saying, you could think of it as being between the devil and the deep blue sea, as the saying goes. Unless the victim of the dilemma manages to find an exception, the outcome of the situation will probably be undesirable, as there could be no good outcome from any choice the victim is faced with. So, I mean, it's a theme.
It's like the lesser of two evils.
It's a theme that has been running throughout this entire episode, and what a great way to end the show. You know, Lester has been faced with choices this entire time. It's either he goes down or someone else goes down. And 9 times out of 10, he's chosen the other person to go down.
Right.
So I get it. Full circle, people. As far as the show, I did like the acting. I loved the writing. I thought it was very slow. I think that I would have liked it better just as a viewer. We do view things differently since we're sitting on a panel.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if I was just sitting at home, I think I would have enjoyed it better. I would have gotten to check out the little, you know, clues that they dropped in between and would have enjoyed the dialogue a little bit more. Because I think when you're watching it for just the big bang moments,
right,
you lose what's in between. So I did like it. And I'm excited to see what they do with season two, whether it be a miniseries format where there's going to be a whole different storyline next season, mm-hmm. or they have a continuation of what has gone on in these sort of three towns that they've hit.
Well, on that note, why don't we jump into predictions for next season?
Yes.
And you can start.
Yeah. Okay. I thought you were going to start with me.
Well, the only thing that I compare it to is American Horror Story, because
right. So
that's...
what would you like to see for next season? Let's say that.
I would like to see some of the characters return.
Ah.
Possibly
in their original
as,
form?
No. I'm hoping
so some
that...
some of the actors returning.
Sorry, the actors.
Okay.
I'm hoping that there is a different storyline. Still the same vibe, but maybe a murder in a different place. I don't know how it's going to quite work, because the slowness of the dialogue is really what made this show.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we might run into like a CSI Miami situation. But like, I mean, think about it. If this took place in Hollywood, Florida, like, you know, you don't know how different would it be. Right. So I'd be curious to see. No, seriously.
I feel like if it took place in Hollywood, Florida, it'd have a lot more to do with meth.
Oh, yeah. But I'm, you know.
Sorry,
it's,
Florida.
It just... I'm curious to see what happens to it, because I do think that people are loving this show. There are diehard fans on the internet.
I know.
Just like crazy about this. So I know that it's coming back. I'm excited to see what's to come.
Okay.
What about you, JB?
I agree and disagree. I would like to see it come back. I think what gives this show its most interest is that it's so different. Fargo is a place I've never been before, but I assume it's similar to how they portray it. And it's interesting. You know, I like the...
Fargo's in North Dakota.
Well, yeah, we can go. You're down. But it's interesting to see, you know, I love the how nice everybody is, how innocent and kind of naive almost they are. But I actually wouldn't like to see the same characters. I feel like, you know, over these 10 episodes, we've kind of gotten all that they've got to offer. And I'd love to see more of, you compared it to True Detective, mm-hmm. that format, and just more shenanigans in a different sort of north town, if you will.
Okay.
Okay.
Sarah?
I pretty much completely agree with JB.
You have no opinion.
No, I do.
He does.
I do. I liked the actors, although I don't think there's anywhere for the characters to go. There's nothing I was like, except for what happened in 79. I'm not like...
You don't want to see the baby and Greta grow up to be part of the police force?
No. Remember when you thought Greta was going to do some like amazing thing? And
I know,
she didn't. She was just there, you know? So
she just got a haircut.
Yeah. That was her big moment, right? So, I mean, no, I just don't think like anything. But obviously the writers can probably think of crazy things that they can do. I just, in my mind, I can't wrap my head around something that I would want to see them do. I wouldn't mind seeing certain actors, like obviously Billy Bob Thornton, I could watch all day mm-hmm. doing whatever, you know.
Adam Kaufman.
True story.
Adam Goldberg, yes.
Whatever his name is.
I could see him back doing
Adam
anything.
Kaufman.
I'm not sure.
That's somebody I work with.
Someone you dated? Okay. I don't know.
No, it's definitely
one
someone I work
Tinder
with.
One of your Tinder
matches? On that note.
No.
No, but...
Moving right along, Sarah.
But, I mean,
you
that's,
jerk.
That's really it. I would like to see it in a different form, but I don't think it's like American Horror Story, where they can take the same actors and really go like in a whole different direction.
I guess we'll have to see. I mean, don't get me wrong. Throughout this entire season, I have enjoyed all the actors. I think the writing has
amazing.
Been very interesting. But just the storyline for me is not interesting enough to keep my attention.
Yes.
That is just my biggest complaint with it. That being said, for next season, you know, both the movie and this season, season one, have taken place in Minnesota in small towns.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something to be said about the people in Minnesota and their attitudes about life and, you know, the slow-paced lifestyle and their sunny disposition on things.
Trusting.
It's very trusting, you know, leave your doors unlocked kind of towns.
Right.
Where if you moved outside of a Midwestern town like the Bemidji or the other towns that we saw throughout the season, you might not get the same type of story that's being told.
Right.
So, you know, it leaves something to be desired as to whether or not they're going to keep it in Minnesota or whether or not they're going to continue with the same actors and maybe just continue, break off into a different storyline that maybe they explored and didn't tell, or, you know, start somewhere else, maybe go back to 79 and tell us about Lou.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? But I would very much like to see, you know, the actors, some of the actors come back. Maybe not necessarily in the same story, but I think that's probably where it should live if you want to continue to tell the same type of story.
I have one other thing to say.
No one cares.
Come on. I think, too, it would be hard next season in general, because with this first season, it was, they had the movie to draw from, and there were so many times where, like, everyone was like, oh, this is just like the movie. Oh, and, like, I just think season two, I mean, there's not a Fargo movie two. Like, there's, I mean, and there's not a lot to, like, pull from either that they haven't pulled from. So I just feel like it has to be something totally
Maybe it'll be a completely different format.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows?
It's a big mystery.
It's a big mystery.
That was fun.
That's our show, you guys.
Yeah.
We are finally done. Why don't we go around the table and tell everyone where we can find you, Sarah?
I am at Sarah on the Go on Twitter, Sarah with an H, and SarahBear627 on Instagram. Bye.
Nice. I'm at JB_Zimmerman on both Twitter and Instagram.
Perfect. I am at Jillian Leff on Twitter, at Jillian Leff on Instagram. I also host The Fosters on Monday night at 7, and I just interviewed Jada Facer from ABC Family's Melissa and Joey, and that's up on the site right now. So if you're into that, check it out.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at You Can Call Me Skiff. From everyone here at the AfterBuzz TV family, myself, Jillian Leff, JB Zimmerman, Sarah Huggins,
and
Ariana Leo, who could not be here tonight. Don't step on my toes, Sarah. I will murder you.
Promise.
We want to thank you for joining us all season long.
Yes.
For Fargo season one, and we will hopefully see you next season for season two.
Aw, geez, you guys.
Aw, geez, you guys. Talk to you soon.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.